Hey, folks, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Soapbox. This is Dan once again, and I just want to say that I pray that you had a great day today, or you're going to have a great day, or you are having a great day today, no matter what time it is. I pray that this day for you has been awesome. And I want to get into this today, jump right in, because this is something, first of all, I'm a list guy. I love lists. Okay, I really, really do. So they're just so easy to follow. It's really easy to, you know, I'm a checkbox type of guy, and that's the legalism in me, and I got to break that. But I like when there are certain numbers that I can kind of be like, okay, yeah, check that off, or I can check myself, you know, with all these. So today, we're going to get into a list, but today, we're going to talk about five ways you could possibly be serving something other than the one true God. Now, we've talked many times throughout several episodes about making something else your God, or being a servant or slave to something of this world instead of the one true God, you know, Jesus or Yahweh. But what does that mean? What does that mean? We might sit here and say, yeah, I believe in God, and nothing takes his place. He's it. For me. And we might say that, but is that really, really true? Or here are five ways, like I said, that you could possibly be serving something of this world other than God. Okay, here we go. Let's start with number five. Number five is you're motivated to obtain this God or slash God every single day. It could be a lowercase g God or the one true God. You're motivated to obtain this God every single day. Now, money tends to be the most sought after God, quote unquote, here on earth, little g God. This is something that motivates you to even wake up every day to do it. Like, this is your passion to get up and be like, yes, let's go get it today. It's your primary reason for functioning. And you tend to give this God, whoever it is, whatever it is, a lot or even all of your time. Okay, so each day, we actually should be seeking God's kingdom first, as it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So I'm going to read these out for you, but they're going to be in description as well, so you can refer back to them. But I'll read them for you. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and you could read along with me as well. This is in the NIV. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So number five is you're motivated to obtain this God every single day. Number four is you're extremely stressed out or down in the dumps when you can't obtain and or if you lose this God. Sometimes you really seek to get this God. And again, it could be money, a spouse, a child, a home, a promotion, or whatever. It could be anything that's not God. When we don't get it, it affects how we feel drastically. Now, we all have the big case G God, right? The one true God. Now, I say little g God and I say big case G God. That just means the little g God is not God himself, just so you know. Okay, so we do all have the one true God. We all have Jesus Christ. We all do. He's not just for certain people. He's for everybody. So we all have this. So we don't have to be stressed. We don't have to be down in the dumps because every single day we wake up, we have Jesus. We have him. We wake up with him loving us already. And that's amazing, right? But if you're going after something else, if you're going after something else and you don't get it, it can affect how you feel. Really drastically, it can really throw you down. If you don't get the promotion that you wanted, that can really hurt. And it's okay to mourn, right? It's okay to be like, oh, that stinks, right? But to totally change your mood and to ruin your day, you shouldn't let it do that. Because we have what matters most. We have Jesus. I mean, the fruits of the Spirit, they tend to get suppressed when you allow another God to get in the way of the one true God. The Holy Spirit wants to work, but can't because of this wall from that little g God that we put up in the way. Okay, we're working towards this other God, and the Holy Spirit wants to work in us, but we're so focused on this other thing. And like I said, for some, it's money. And it is stressful to lose money. Don't get me wrong. It really, really is. And again, we can mourn when we lose money or not get a promotion or not get a house or whatever, but we can't let the worry get in the way of praising God and being joyful. Okay, Bible time here again. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. This is the NIV again. It says this, "Come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The yoke, first of all, what a yoke is basically this wooden thing that you put on two oxen, okay? Ox being like a cow for a plow. So you have these, it's kind of like a cow, these ox or oxen that you have, you usually have two that are pulling a plow. This wooden thing goes over the neck of both of them so they can share the work. Now, what Jesus says is, if you put this yoke on, my yoke, I will put my neck into this wooden thing with you, and my burden is light because I'm going to be doing the work. I'm going to be moving. You just have to trust in me. You just have to love me. I just want your heart. And when you do that, the burden's light. My yoke is easy. Money's yoke is really hard. It really is. Like, for those of you that aren't millionaires, I'm not a millionaire. So the ones that, you know, that we have to really, really work hard every single day of our lives for money, just say this is the God that you put in the way. Man, it's hard, right? That yoke is not easy. That yoke is really hard, and the burden is really heavy. So Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," and to take his yoke, okay, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Number three, you use this God as a crutch or for comfort. Some people I know tend to lean on things like drugs, like marijuana or other harder drugs, alcohol or social media, and or even pornography when they get the chance. Now, as soon as the opportunity comes to leave a stressful situation, you run to this thing or this God. You sometimes even had the fact that you run to this God at times. You deny it. If you use this God as a crutch or for comfort, that leads to dependency. I've heard too many people, I used to say this all the time. Oh man, what a stressful day, what a rough week, I need a drink, right? I need a drink. And then it's funny, Stacy and I were kind of talking about it. You know, there's always a reason to do this. So there's always a reason to drink. It seemed like, okay, well, American football's on Sunday, and it's on Monday, so we get a drink for both of those days. Tuesday was a stressful day, so I'll drink then. Wednesday's midweek, it's very stressful. So we kept going, and every single day we could drink. And then it becomes this dependency. Every time I'm stressed, I drink. Every time I'm stressed, I smoke weed. Every time I'm stressed, I gotta go search social media or look up something like pornography. That leads to dependence on whatever it is. So we need to, of course, switch that around, right? We got to be dependent on God. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anything loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So number three is, you use this God as a crutch or for comfort. Number two, this God makes you act differently for selfish gain. So you may talk differently or act differently and or manipulate others because of this God. And now most might be thinking about money here. You might be thinking that this is all about money. But no, there are some situations like utilizing people around you for your benefit where the God is actually yourself. You are God now. And sometimes you're not after money specifically, or most of the time you might not be after money at all, but you're after fame or a certain identity, or something that will propel you forward while bringing or leaving others down or oppressed. Now, the one true God loves community and building other people up. He loves encouragement. If others are being brought down, something is getting in the way. That's the only reason why people get oppressed, is because there's some kind of pride or something that's in the way. of you loving that person. A great passage for this, or parable for this, is the parable about the Good Samaritan. Okay, you may have heard of it, you may have read it many times, but in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, I'm not going to go over this whole thing because it is lengthy, and one day we'll probably do an episode on it since we do episodes on parables, but essentially Jesus was telling this parable to a bunch of Pharisees and other people and his disciples, okay? And there was a man that was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, kept him halfway dead, okay? Now, a priest and then a Levite, who tend to be very righteous people in the eyes of the other people, of the Jews, pass by him. They don't even help him. But then a Samaritan, who is often looked down upon by Jews and Gentiles because they weren't quite Jews and they weren't quite Gentiles, they were looked down upon as people that didn't care or were just filthy. He stopped and helped this guy out. He helped him out until he was fully healed. He even paid the innkeeper to heal him of his wounds and make sure that he felt better. And it was totally unexpected, right? The Samaritan was the good guy. He was the great neighbor here. So Jesus is like, go and do that same thing. So if you don't love somebody else, if you're bringing other people down, or if you're just walking past people that are oppressed, if you're walking past people that have been brought down, that need to be encouraged and built up, well, there's a reason for it. There's something that's in the way. There's another God that's in the way, because the one true God would never do that. So number two, once again, is this God makes you act differently for selfish gain. And finally, number one, drum roll please. Here we go. You ready for this? Number one is you're willing to determine and change what the one true God calls wrong into something that you now consider right. The fall happened, Adam and Eve, the fall happened because we didn't trust that God knew what he was directing to us. We wanted the knowledge of good and evil ourselves, and to now determine what those things are. We want to determine what good and evil are. And because of this, we like to self-justify based on our own judgments to determine that this is now right and God approves of it, and others who disagree are incorrect. We need to trust that God knows what he's talking about. We do. He created us. He knows us. He gave us absolutes and what will cause for us to orient away from him, which will lead us to self-destruction. These things, these commandments in the Bible, are for our benefit. They're for our benefit. They're all indicators to show if we've started to orient ourselves away from God. He says, if you do these things, they only lead down to this path of destruction. If you don't do these things, that means you love me. And that means you've given yourself to me, and then you won't be down the path of destruction. You'll be down the path of eternal life. So we have to trust that. We have to trust that God knows what he's saying, knows what he's doing, and his wisdom and his judgment are both, they're just, they're perfect. But to achieve this other lowercase g God, we may ignore what the one true God is saying so that we can benefit, selfishly benefit. Okay, so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, again, this I'm reading from the NIV here, it says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. They were created through him and for him. He doesn't need us. Let's just be honest with ourselves. But he wants us. He loves us, that he wants for us to be with him forever. That's what he wants. And he gives us these commandments, again, as indicators to be like, okay, are you orienting away from me? Are you not trusting in me? That's how you can really tell. And you're going to just lead down this path of destruction. I don't want you to go on because I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. If he didn't, then he wouldn't have given those commandments to us, because he wants for us to go down the right path. That's what he wants. But if we start looking after this other little lowercase g God, right, and we're like, no, this is right now. Even if God says it's wrong, I don't care. We're saying it's right. That's going to lead us down this path of destruction. So we have to trust God. We have to understand that all the things that he gives us are for our benefit. So that's number one. You're willing to determine and change what the one true God calls wrong into something that you now consider right. Now, of course, these aren't 100% ways to identify you're worshiping a different God than the God that died for us on the cross as Jesus. But these can give you an idea of where your heart might be. I had to go through each one of these myself, and I was like, oh man, wow, I've been really dependent on this. Or wow, I've been running to this as a crutch. Oh wow, I thought this was right, you know, this was always wrong to me because God tells me it's wrong, but I've been kind of erring on the side, like, you know what, maybe it's right. Wow, okay, maybe I should start thinking about God. Maybe I start reading into his word and then meditating on his word and then surrounding myself with his word and with him all the time. Because I know that the Spirit gave me these things in my heart and in my mind because there were some things that I was worshiping over God. I put these things in front of God. And I had to make that stop. Okay. So ask yourself these things, go through each of these again. We have to have this deep, intimate relationship with him, right? And we should be doing everything we can to worship God. And sometimes, yes, he calls for us to take a different path than we expect. So like maybe we have to work more to make more money so that we can do a mission trip or something, right? Or take a long trip away from family, away from your community, so that you can go preach about Jesus. Everything should be done to glorify him. Our primary motivator should be to glorify God in everything that we do, okay? Because focusing too much on self-satisfaction puts a wall up between us and God, because that's when we become our God. We focus on us or me so much that everything else doesn't matter anymore, until God doesn't matter to you anymore, or you're blinded to the truth given to us by God. All sin sprouts from a form of selfishness, a selfishness to murder, a selfishness to steal, a selfishness to commit adultery, to seek out other things, to falsely feel our satisfaction or covet, etc. All sprout from a selfish heart and from selfish motivation. But when we glorify God and seek his kingdom first, the selfishness now transitions to selflessness. And the fruits of the Spirit now show, and they could bless everybody, not just you. They do bless you too, but they could bless everybody. Everyone benefits from the fruits of the Spirit. Every single person on earth benefits from the fruits of the Spirit. Because with those, you can do no wrong. So I have a few questions for you. Okay, the first question is this. Meditate on each of these bullet points / indicators. What are your answers for each? And have you done any of these things? Have you ever put any lowercase g or little g gods in front of the one true God? Second question is, what if this little g God was now transitioned to big G God? What if you started, say if you're dependent on a little g god of marijuana, and you focus on marijuana to get yourself out of stress? What if you now took that dependence and put it into the one true God, or Jesus? What if you switched that dependence to God, to the one true God? How would that change your day-to-day and or the world? How would that change your day-to-day and or the world? And then the final question is, what can we learn from the consequences of making something else other than the one true God our lowercase g God or little g God? What can we learn from the consequences of making something else other than the one true God our God? So a little bit of encouragement here, okay? Because I know we've been blunt on Holy Spirit Soapbox, especially the past couple of episodes, but we love to give everybody, including ourselves, Stacy and I, when we write these, this is for us too. We love to hear what the Spirit has for us so that we can be convicted, right? We need to get what we need to get from the Spirit. Not necessarily what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of sugarcoating out there, and sugarcoating does not help our relationship with God. It really doesn't. We have to understand the word, the true word that we were given in this beautiful Bible of ours that tells of God's love. We need to read that. And it is pretty straightforward sometimes, right? It's for us to be convicted so that we can allow Jesus to work in and through us. So here's the encouragement I was going to go to eventually here. The encouragement for you today is that Jesus does love you. You've already won the race. The race is over and you've won. And here's why. Because you're on God's team. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you. And if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, which I'm sure you have already. If you haven't, I encourage it. But if you have already, you've won the race. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Rely and trust in God. Okay, rely on and trust in God. And understand that you have everything you need in Christ Jesus today. And I want to pray over all of you and pray over us today. So if you could take your prayer posture, please do. I would love to close us out here and talk to our God. Our Father, you are the only God. You're the holy God. Although we fall each day by replacing you with the other things of this world, our goal is to live by the Spirit so that your Holy Spirit can convict us and move in us to change the world for the better. We see so many issues and the bad fruit that sprout from seeking the world first every single day. So we're praying for a continued revival in us, a renewal in us every single morning so that we can continue to glorify you. Help prune those other gods away from us and let us bear good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.